been a while since I've been with you on a Wednesday night to speak, that is. I've been here, but just not speaking. And so we're finishing up, as if you may not believe it, but about the end of July, we were almost done with Philippians. And so we're going to look at the last passage of Philippians. I had one more lesson that I want to share with you. And lo and behold, this passage, one of the missionaries that came through, maybe Dr. Keene, maybe not one of them though, had preached from this passage. But as is often the case, a lot of times you can preach this, many messages. There's so much in the Word of God. It's so rich. And so we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4 and begin in verse number 10 and go all the way to the end of the chapter. The last several verses are the conclusion and saluting every saint, and there's things in there for us as well, but we'll try to chunk off that whole section there, and then as I said, when I get done, I want to share something with you that I believe will bless your heart. So Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10, settle in there for the next 15, 20 minutes, and we'll, I believe, have a wonderful time in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." And I remind you, like we've said before different times, this is completely the Word of God. A holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. And it is the Word of God beginning to end. But it was also a letter of comfort, a letter of thanks, a letter of instruction, a letter of commendation, sometimes a letter of rebuke to the receivers that were the first human ones to hear it, when in this case it was the church of Philippi. And so it's God's eternal word, but God also used it to those people, those Philippians, people of Philippi, to be instructed from a good friend of theirs, somebody who'd been used of the Lord to instruct them, the Apostle Paul. And so when we read these things, sometimes it boggles our minds. You say, well, I don't understand how it could have been instruction right there on that day in that church, and how it's still the Word of God for all of us to read and get instruction and comfort from today. I know what you mean, but it's God's Word, and so we don't have to explain all of it, because it is the inspired Word of God. And so we see that it is that tonight, but it was also instructing these people. And so if you could think about it this evening, that the apostle is used of God to write to these people and tell them some things about how he thanks God for them. "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." Obviously it dropped off for a while. "Wherein you were also careful," you wanted to basically, "but you lacked opportunity." Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know also how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. That sounds like he was on a diet. Sometimes that's the way we all should feel that way. "Both to abound and to suffer need, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." We think of communication as a conversation back and forth, but truly you communicate with my affliction. You were used of God to help me out of a bind. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift," Paul was beyond that, "but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell." And you remember one of the missionaries preached somewhat there how it's a blessing to give to missionaries. It must be a sweet smell to God as he sees some of his people being obedient to be a blessing to some people over there getting the gospel to somebody. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Father, bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, he starts off by saying, rejoice in the Lord greatly. And this missionary was truly brought to probably tears, but certainly brought to joy when some care packages came in, some gifts. And I think about this. I know you, I wish you did get to hear the reports. I try to give some of them to you, but it gets difficult. I wish you heard the reports from missionaries as they leave out of here. Sometimes we'll be able to take them out to eat after the service or stand back here if their schedule doesn't allow a meal. And they'll say, well, some of the folks of the church, they helped me out. They gave me this. Brother Jackson, he was parked over here in the yard with his fifth wheel. And he was here for the whole week of the fair, and he said that, well, some folks from the church blessed me with some finances to get gas or fuel, diesel, whatever, in that truck as I'm going back down. He was heading to Asheville after he left here. I think he was going to leave the camper at the Stovers. They were going to do some work on it, but he was going to go back down, and he said some folks were a blessing to me. We got some stuff out of Phyllis's office that somebody had put together in a basket and gave it to him for snacks on the way. And you should have heard, it was just a blessing. They were thankful for what God had used you to do. And not only them, but other missionaries. I told you the other day that many times I'll give an offering. Bert will write us a check and I'll give it to the missionary. But oftentimes that you'll give more than we did as a gesture of good, just encouragement from the church, from the missions budget. And it's just a blessing. And now as you think about that and you read what Paul is telling these people, he said, I was just tickled to death. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. And so he was rejoicing. Was it because of the money? He says later in the verse, not that I desire a gift. He said, I don't need that. Because Paul had been at it so long, he knew that God was going to take care of him. It wasn't for the people at Philippi, it was going to be somebody else. If it wasn't there, God was going to do something else. If it wasn't something else, God was going to bring some stuff for him. God was going to leave the apostle on the earth as long as God wanted him to be there. But truly, I believe the apostle was wanting fruit that it would abound to the people at Philippi, their account. And I do believe that we're blessed when we get to give to these missionaries as they come in. We're not doing them a favor. I hope our church never gets to the place where we look and say, well, you know, if we take you on as support, we're really being a blessing and doing you a favor. No, actually, folks, it's the other way around. They're doing us a great favor. I'm not planning on going to the Turks and Caicos Island. I mean, I like, as I've told you before, I like to think I'd be obedient if God wanted me to. I think I would go, but I'm not planning it. And so since I'm not going, they're doing me a favor going where I'm not. And so we see here that the apostle, I don't believe he wanted a gift from them. I think he wanted those people to be blessed. He says, you rejoice in the Lord. But in all of that, we see an encouraged apostle. We see an apostle that's encouraged in the Lord because those gifts and kindnesses, they were something that lifted his heart. They had obviously stopped giving for a little while. You see in verse number 10, he says, your care of me hath flourished again, which means it must have stopped for a while. Maybe some things happened in their church. Maybe some great needs were there. Maybe there was sickness. Maybe there was difficulties, whatever it was. Something had happened, and they couldn't send the care packages, the gifts, the supplies like they were. He said, but it's happened again, and you were careful to do so, but you lacked opportunity. So we see here that we have an encouraged apostle. Again, he says, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, I've learned to take it easy and let God be concerned about all that. But it certainly did encourage him. I wonder sometimes if we would live like the apostle Paul, that I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know, we're a people that are bad about not being content. I know we look at a few areas that we don't like that such thing anyway. If you don't like, if you're not all excited about houses and you say, I'm fine with whatever house. If you're not somebody who just loves automobiles, then you're fine. Oh, whatever I drive is fine. But we keep punching enough buttons and we'll find something that you're really passionate about. And that thing that we're passionate about, that's where it's easy to see that we're not always content as we should be. We have a tendency to want more than we've got. And Paul says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now listen, folks, we always think that means money. But you know, Paul was a sick man. And so he not only learned to be content in his poverty, but he also learned to be content in his sickness. I can take you to some of the greatest Christians I know, and they're sicker than any of us would ever want to be, just with a continual lifelong sickness that probably they'll go to heaven with and get a glorified body and not have to worry about it. But when he says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, and I'm challenging you tonight, Not just content with where your finances are, that's one thing, but also content with who your family is. Content with your status in life, content with some things. The Apostle Paul, you know that he asked the Lord three times for that thorn in the flesh to be removed. What'd God say? No, no, and one more time, no. And so we've been in that situation some, haven't we? We've been in situations where he said, Lord, I'd like for you to change this. And God says, no, it's better for you to have it with my presence than not have it without. And so we understand that he said, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Look at verse number 12. He says, I know how to be abased. And that just means brought down low. And he said, I know how to abound. Harry Ironside, a preacher of yesteryear, he went every year while his health allowed to a rescue mission in Grand Rapids. And that rescue mission was ran by, for some time, by Mel Trotter, who had gotten saved. He was an alcoholic, and he was just in a lot of wicked stuff. But he got saved, born again, and after his salvation, he opened up a mission. And the person who was very instrumental in him, or very encouraging him, was Harry Ironside, an old preacher. Well, as it would happen, if I remember the story correctly, there was a man in the area that got saved, and he was the owner of a very plush, nice hotel. He had gotten saved, and Mel Trotter was thrown in the mix with him, and Mel Trotter was a blessing to this hotel owner. And so this hotel owner told Trotter, said, well, when you have people here that are guests and you have people here that are preachers, then you send them to us and we'll put them up. And so the next time that Harry Ironside came, then this hotel owner, operator said, we'll put him up. And so Ironside went to his room. It was the presidential suite, the nicest one they have. And he had told Mel Trotter, he said, Mel, he said, I don't need to have all this. All I need is a bed and a Bible and a lamp to study by. Trotter answered back. He said, well, Paul learned to be abased and to abound. He said, this week you get to abound. Now listen, folks, if we're living in the presidential suite, praise the Lord. Don't be one of those people who say, oh, I don't want to live there. I want to go in a tent out back. If you're going to do that, let me know. I'll stay in the presidential suite while you're out the tent. I mean, don't be so spiritually aloof, I guess. Don't be so spiritually, seem spiritual, but just don't be so spiritually distant. Say, oh, no, I could never do that. If God blesses you with something, use it. I always think it's strange when people act like they can't take physical blessings. Oh, I don't want that. As if God can't show His love, God can't give His blessings sometime in physical. He says He gives us richly all things to enjoy. If you've got a beautiful house that's more than you ever thought you would live in, thank God for it and use it for His glory. If you've got a little shack that isn't much, then keep it clean and thank God for it and use it for His glory as well. Wherever He is at, I've learned to whatsoever state I am to be content if I'm abased, or I've learned how to abound. So we see that this is where Paul is telling those folks. But I hurry on here. It says in verse number 13, we've preached that verse many times, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I think about that verse. There's a lot of people in the world today that would preach would proclaim the first part of verse 13, the first five words. I can do all things, and I've just given you a humanistic statement. Because for me to say I can do all things is, and leave off the rest, is a very humanistic statement, meaning that humanly speaking, I can do it. I can become it. I'm going to reach down deep in myself and get all that I can and pull it up out of there, and I'm going to make it happen. Do you understand? If I reach down deep in myself and pull up what's down there, all I get is more of what I've already been exposed to. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. So, but what Jesus Christ does through me, it's not worth being done. And so all of the feel-good movies that people say, oh wow, he just reached down deep in himself and he just worked and worked and worked and made it happen. Listen, folks, we understand that. I know I'm greatly appreciative of the determination that people have to make something happen. But as far as spiritually speaking or value speaking, there's nothing in us that's worth having. I can do all things, and the Bible goes on to say, through Christ. Now it's become a God-dependent statement. I can do all things, not on my own, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so we understand the apostle says, goes from there. And so we look on now in verses 14 and 15, and we're going to see where the apostle thanks the people for these things and says that I appreciate what you gave. God was going to supply it. Because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you've well done. And I see a kind people in verse number 14 and 15. That you did communicate with my affliction. Do you know every one of our missionaries have real needs? They're not some pretend needs that aren't as important as yours are. You know their kids are going to need braces if God would allow them the medical facilities over there to get them. Do you know their family is going to have heartaches just like yours? I know this will shock you, but you know their kids are going to fight too, just like yours do. And there's probably some missionary wives that feel like they're a failure as a mother, just like maybe you felt like you was a failure as a mother sometimes. I'm just telling you that missionaries have real needs. Sometimes we kind of separate them out and we think, oh yeah, well, they're kind of out of touch with the real world, possibly in some ways, but certainly not in the area of needs. They have real needs. And so we see here that you communicated with my affliction. The Apostle Paul wasn't on a pleasure cruise everywhere he went. He was more on a battleship possibly, but he wasn't on a pleasure cruise. Now ye Philippians know, verse number 15, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church except for you, they were the only ones giving. There we see a kind people. I want to hasten on down that we see in verse number 19. And it was hitting the message, so I'm not going to dwell on it, but we see the rewarded givers that are there. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And as we heard that missionary speak about it, that those people were taking care of Paul's needs and they were the better off because now God's taking care of their needs. I want to show you in verse number 20 and 23, even in the conclusion, everything's good in the Bible. I'm like one preacher, he said, I like every word in the Bible. He said, I even like the cover. It says Holy Bible and I like that. He said, I believe from cover to cover. Even the conclusions are good. Because it's all the Word of God. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint. These are the examples that the Apostle Paul has used of God to show us how we communicate back and forth one another. Salute every saint. He's telling them to give so and so a good word and so and so a good word. And he says that it's returned backwards. We see the mutual kindnesses back and forth. Salute every saint, verse number 21, verse number 22, because all the saints salute you. They that are of Caesar's household, even some ones that were uppity up somewhere of the ruler. You know, it never gets out of style to be kind. I'm not sure where sometimes we as Christians get to thinking that we can be short with people. I see here that the apostle says, salute them, tell them I said hi. If you want to get modern, not quite modern day, but in Andy Griffith's show, Goober says, hey, you know, do you remember that from the TV show? He says, tell them we greet you and all the saints salute you, chiefly those that are the Caesar's household. I'm just trying to get us to see in a practical sense here, it was kindness back and forth. I heard some time ago about a preacher. He was bragging actually about being short with somebody at a drive-through window. I don't remember all those details about it, but I thought how terrible. Listen, if you get in the flesh and you let somebody have it and you're mean to somebody, don't go bragging about it later. It'd be better just to get it right with the Lord and say you're sorry. If you got a chance, go back and tell that person you're sorry. I'm just mentioning to us that it never goes out of style to be kind. What's the Bible say about believers? We would be known for our love one for another. I know so many preachers, and it seems like we would be known for how strong we hold on to something. I love the King James Bible, and you know that our church has stood for it for years and years and years, and I love that. You'd think that's what preachers would want to be known for. I love the fact that we have God. I feel like Christ honoring music, and I believe loved all the playing over here and over here. I love to hear Miss Howard over here, Miss Cole over here. I enjoyed all of it. I think we have Christ honoring music, and sometimes preachers like me, we act like that ought to be what we're known for. But God said in His Word the believers would be known for their love one for another. And so if we can do all those things, we can keep it right, we can have the right Bible, we can have good music, we can do all these things, and we're mean and fighting one against another, and we're acting like a bunch of cats scratching each other, God says He's not pleased. Now, I don't think we have to drop all the other things. I believe we can hold everything right and be nice. And I see here these Christian graces or these Christian kindnesses are bestowed back and forth in the conclusion of this passage. So as we finish up Missions Month, it's where I was in Philippians before we got in. I didn't quite get it finished before the Missions Month came. And so God obviously had that orchestrated. But here we see that somebody got to encourage the great Apostle Paul. And we know him because he's forever recorded in Scripture. We don't get to do that because timing didn't work out. God could have put us in that time, a time of history if he wanted to, but he didn't. He put us here. So we don't get to encourage him, but we get to encourage somebody. The Vallis family that you saw the video about, we got to vote just not too long ago. I don't remember how much we got to send to help with that project. You remember I told you the testimony about the Florences, the family that we voted as a church to send $10,000 over there. That's exactly what they needed to finish that up. And I'm sure that that's quite a topic of discussion among his missionary buddies. So, man, you wouldn't believe what God did. And it goes, the blessings or the praise goes way past us. He says, you're not going to believe what God did. You're not going to believe how God worked. Martin's going to come up in a little bit and tell you a few things that I'd like for us as a church to do. And I believe when we get to tell the people that we're going to do it for, I believe they're going to say, praise God. There's sometimes things happen in your life. All you can do is just say, thank you, Jesus. And I like to be one of the ones that's involved in the mix of that. And I hope it's not for wrong or vain glory, but I love to be in the mix of that when people can say, oh, thank you. And I say, well, praise the Lord. We see an encouraged apostle. We see a kind group of people. And we see it ended up with Christian kindnesses reciprocated back and forth. Father, bless us now is our prayer. We do certainly thank you for the time to finish up this book, your word. And Lord, I pray that it's settled in. I pray that something that was said tonight would help us. And Lord, I pray if there's a hurting heart here tonight, Lord, maybe there's somebody in this room that you've convicted. They're too short with somebody in their family, too unkind. Somehow they thought that standing strong meant being unkind. Dear Lord, I don't think that was at all. Lord, maybe somebody here is tonight and it needs to do business with you. Perhaps somebody's here unsaved. Lord, whatever the need is, I pray that you would do a work in their heart and bless us in your for your glory, we pray. Would you stand again?